Welcome to IBBA Insights, providing expert advice on buying or selling small businesses. IBBA Insights is presented by the International Business Brokers Association, the world's largest nonprofit organization for those helping others sell or buy businesses. Now, here's your host, Chris Diglio.
Hello, and welcome to today's episode. I'm Chris Diglio. I'm happy to be able to bring you this show sponsored by the International Business Brokers Association. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about things sellers do to kill deals. Now, they don't intentionally kill deals. Well, most don't, but sometimes it happens. My hopes are for today's show that we're able to share some information that will help you avoid some of these pitfalls that could ultimately kill a deal. Now, in order to talk about these things, I thought it would be great to have a guest that has plenty of experience selling businesses, right? Because they've probably seen it, done it, been there, and can share some of those stories with us, but also share with us how to avoid some of the issues that come up during a transaction. And I was fortunate enough to get one of the nation's top business brokers. He's routinely one, if not the top selling agent in the state of Florida. One year, he sold over 55 businesses. That's more than one a week. That is absolutely unheard of. He's an owner of a Murphy business franchise in South Florida and has been a business broker for over 20 years. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to welcome Russell Cohen to the show. Russell, welcome.
Great. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate having me on.
Now, I'm excited. I remember when I first met you, you and I were both a little wet behind the ear. We were new business brokers. We're not too long into the business. And I had a buyer for one of your listings. It was a baseball card, I think, distribution company. And my buyer never wound up buying it. But that was the first time I met you. I'm not sure if you remember that or not.
Oh, yes. It was a painful ordeal with that particular engagement.
Well, you know, we live and learn, and 20 years later, it's amazing that I look at you and I look at myself and I know our age, and I'm like, wow, age-wise, we're still pretty young compared to most business brokers, but experience-wise, we're old-timers.
We got 20 years plus, so we got the gray hair to show for it, no doubt.
Let's just jump right into it, because I know the listening audience, whether they're a business owner or a business broker, these things are very important to talk about, because sometimes sellers get emotional, deals get very, very tense, or sometimes they just get difficult to deal with, and understanding how to overcome or avoid these pitfalls are very important. So one, I'd love to start off, if you just have an experience or a story you could share with the audience where a business owner intentionally or like most times unintentionally killed a deal or almost killed a deal, or ways that it may have been avoided.
Well, you brought back a really bad memory with that baseball card distributor. So actually, I didn't really remember it until you just reminded me. But going back to that deal, we had a lot of action. It was a pretty unique opportunity. They had a kind of an arrangement with Topps distribution for baseball cards. And when we took, as being a new agent back in 2000, what the seller didn't disclose was his year-to-date numbers. So we a lot of people going ahead and putting it on the contract. And finally, when we finally got to the due diligence, numbers were tanking. And from that date forward, I'm always trying to get updated numbers especially 2019 being now. And because sometimes if you don't ask, the sellers are not going to tell you. So you have to ask a lot of questions to weed out those potential deal killers. I had another situation when I was brand new, my first $1 million listing and contract, and I was selling a Maytag distributor, and due diligence went great. Everything was looking fantastic. We went to the Maytag distributor transfer it, and you know, here was my first $100,000 commission. I was already spending the money, and next thing you know, Maytag, they decided that it was not really up to the seller to transfer the distributorship. They said, basically, we will decide who we put in South Florida because they had a very large distributor already in the state, and so basically, the seller had nothing to sell. So you know, two scenarios right there where. You know, here you think you're getting the deal done and just, you know, mayhem happens in the deals.
Oh, it's crazy. I'll share one with you. It happened last year. It's $1.5 million deal. You know, we're looking at $150,000 plus in commissions. It's a lot of money. And unlike you, I'm spending the money. Everything went well. Bank is approved and we're getting ready for closing. And the seller decides that over about a $350 box of logo t-shirts that he was demanding that the buyer was going to pay for. And the buyer said, no, I'm paying you $1.5 million. Those t-shirts are included in the deal. And I had to have the conversation with that seller. I said, you really want to kill a deal, $1.5 million deal over $350 worth of t-shirts? But that, you know, that leads right into the second thing I wanted to talk to you about, Russell. And it's, you know, when we take a listing, the seller's typically on the same page as us and they're happy to sell their business and everything is great. They listen to everything you say and they're ready to go. But somewhere along the line, they lose sight of the objective and become difficult to work with, or they can become difficult to work with. Can you give some examples of some of the top reasons sellers can get in the way of a deal? It could be emotional, negotiations, due diligence. I don't know. There are lots of different things. Can you talk about some of the top things that you've come across?
Yeah, this year, I brought on an internet company that was a legal directory lead generation business, and I thought I had a real good client. Seller was having employee issues, sales issues, and so he was getting kind of a burnout. And all of a sudden, we were bringing him offers. We actually got him $1 million cash. Along the way, the seller was able to get certain designations where he was now the official SEO provider of the American Bar Association, the Florida Bar Association. So all of a sudden, the business started to turn around, and then he became very unmotivated to sell. He wouldn't take $1 million cash deal on a business netting $300,000. And, you know, just recently as last week, you know, we determined that we can't sell the business because he's really not motivated to sell. And so we have to shelf the engagement and, you know, hopefully he'll come back in a year or two when he's really ready to get out. But the long and short of the story is the business healed itself. The pain of why he was selling was not there anymore. So there's really nothing I could do. And I did deliver what I could get him a great price.
It's unfortunate that happens, but, you know, unfortunate today, but next year he'll bring the company back to you. Maybe it's worth twice as much and you make a lot more money. You know, you build a relationship and you do what you can do. Sometimes things like that happens, but you ever run across a deal where, you sat down before you went to market with the business and the seller shared with you all the expectations of what they're looking to do. And then all of a sudden in the middle of the deal, they just become unreasonable or the emotions get involved because the buyer said something that the seller thought might be stupid. And you know, how do you deal with those issues?
Well, you know, both sides of the equation is extremely emotional. The seller knows what they have and the buyer doesn't know what they have. We're trying to keep them away from the business. We are trying to keep both sides friendly. And when emotions come out, what the best thing you can do is get buyers and sellers on the phone or in person. And because it's probably been 3 to 4 weeks or even months when they actually got together. So if they can remember why they fell in love with each other, that's very important. And most important that the sellers act very differently in front of the brokers compared to when they're talking to a buyer. You know, they're very strong in front of the broker. And then the minute you're sitting with a buyer, it's like you have a totally different personality. So I've always learned that, you know, communication, getting the buyers back in front, phone or in person, and just, you know, getting them to remember why it was the right fit.
I found a lot of times, again, we're dealing with human beings and they're emotional, but they're also very prideful, and business owners can be very proud of what they've done and what they've created. And buyers, they obviously want to get the best deal they can. But I found in a lot of these transactions that pride and ego, since we're talking about how sellers kill a deal, sometimes they let their pride and their ego get in the way. And have you ever had to sit down and have that conversation with them to kind of bring them back down to what you might be consider reality?
All the time. What I try to do is upfront when I meet with the sellers, we're talking about valuing the business and getting a good price. And I'm trying to put them in a scenario where what they're going to net at the closing after commissions and taxes. So they know. And if that number is not good enough, then they should not come on the market because a overpriced listing is not going to get any action. So I think it's very important as the business broker upon that initial meeting is to try to set the right expectations. And I would honestly tell you 20% of the people I meet, I probably bring on. So there's about 80% of what I sit in front of will not become my client. And that's because I am trying to weed them out, set the right expectations, And then you can, while you're in the deal, you know, once again, you could, you know, you could tell the seller, you know, why, how we sat down and discussed what was going to be the result of the sale, and that they were, you know, looking to get the freedom and take back their life. You know, that's very important. A lot of sellers are really burnt out and are, you know, have things going on in their life and they just want to live. It's important to set that expectation up front, tell them where they're going to land and what is the tax circumstances. And I think you're going to go into a better situation as you get into deals.
Well, let's talk a little bit, Russell, about need and greed. You ever got in the middle of a deal or you take on a brand new listing? Let me rephrase it. You take on a brand new listing. You've talked about price. You've talked about terms and the expectations. The seller's good with everything. Then all of a sudden, just it's the perfect storm. You just happen to have the right buyer at the right price and they make a full price offer. And then all of a sudden the seller thinks, wow, wait a second. That was too soon. We must have priced it too low. Have you ever run into a seller killing a deal because of that?
No doubt. Back in 2005, I was selling a company called Living Waters Day Spa, and this was in Pembroke Pines. And the business was listed for 1.5, and the business was making $500,000. Perfect storm, three times multiple. We brought in offers, full price offers, SBA, and the seller said no. They raised the price $100,000. Seller said no. They finally raised it 1.8. We got the 1.8. And we were able to close on the deal. Sounds very simple, but, you know, there was a lot of conversation. Do we sue the seller? Do we place a lien? You know, and if we did that, we knew that we were going to lose the seller forever. So it's a matter of just being patient. And, you know, those type of experiences go back, you know, help me now, because setting those expectations, sitting with a seller up front in that meeting, telling them about their tax consequences, what they're going to net at the sale, and seeing how, you know, are they really a seller or not? And that's the most important part.
Sounds like you went to the same school as I did, called the School of Hard Knocks. But, you know, you learned valuable lessons from that. I mean, nowadays, in my initial presentation, I'll bring this up. I'll talk to sellers about, I don't have a crystal ball. I'm an expert and I understand the market and I understand where we should be in the marketplace. But there have been listings that I thought would sell in a month that never sold. And there were listings that I thought would never sell and sold in a month. But there could be an opportunity where I bring you a full price offer. Don't get it in your head that maybe you're leaving money on the table. Understand that then we hit the market at the price point that was attractive, because I've had people walk away from offers because they thought it was too soon. And then a year later, they come back to me because I wish I would have taken that first offer because we never had one that was as good. And when we went back to the buyer, they were gone. And at that point, there's just nothing we can do, Russell.
You're right. A lot of times you get a lot of interference from friends, families, sometimes accountants and attorneys get in the ear of the seller and tell them that they're selling too low. And many a times that might have been the best price they're going to see, and they may not see an offer anything close to it. And you look back and you say greed of money. And, but you know, people are adults and they make their own decisions and they have to live by it. And, you know, we can only, you know, give them a fair multiple on the business. I always tell the seller, we're not going to send you into retirement for the next 20, 30 years that you're going to live incredible lifestyle. This is a bonus at the end of the ride. And when you're ready for that bonus, it is a great bonus. And most important is you and your spouse will be able to, you know, remember the days that you had all that freedom and travel and just enjoy life.
Hopefully this will make you laugh, because I think it's funny and I tell this story a lot. People ask me, well, how do you know when a business is priced just right? You know, when you're in a negotiation with a buyer and a seller, I go, well, when the seller's accountant tells me, oh my God, you sold the business for how much, you're giving it away. And the buyer's accountant says, oh my God, you're paying how much? That's ridiculous. I said, then I know we're right where we need to be.
Right. You know, listen, with all the availability of comparables, you know, with Cobrook and all the brokers are showing comparables. So, you know, the multiples are going to be within a special, you know, within a multiple of earnings in the small business market. So there's no crazy multiples that anyone's going to get. It's already been proven over the past 20, 30 years what the multiples are going to be, you know, and that's what it is. And when you have a seller that has the right frame of mind, you know, you have a potential for a sale.
So, Russell, we talked about sometimes sellers can kill deals. Sometimes inadvertently, sometimes life just happens and their business doubled and it's no longer an area where they want to sell. But talk to me about the education of the client when you're taking a business to market. How do you prepare, or do you believe it's important to prepare your clients for any potential pitfalls like we've discussed and to make them aware of previous instances where sellers may have inadvertently killed deals or things that could happen? Do you do that with your clients?
Yes, all the time. So in that first initial meeting, which could be about an hour and a half, the first 45 minutes to an hour is talking about their business and the process of selling a business. I always tell the seller it could take 9 to 12 months to sell their business, and that, you know, what takes 20 to 30 years doesn't sell in 3 months. I try to explain it's going to be a roller coaster ride, and that chances are the first deal you get into may not be the deal that closes. You know, you got to set expectations with the landlord. You got to start setting expectations with their accounting. You got to start making, ask them to start making improvements to their business where they haven't really prepared for sale. You know, you might need to tell them to get, prepare for that SBA loan. If, you know, for the upcoming year, there's a lot of things that could happen in that course of a year. But most important, the sellers need to get on board with the due diligence, with the books and records. They need to have the expectations of what's going to be needed to get through the due diligence period, the keeping the accounting records as accurate as possible. And if we are dealing with a cash business, they have to start having invoices or point of sale systems or Z-tape, something where that type of buyer is gonna work with him to get the deal moving in the right direction. But there's so many different minefields in this business. But you could only tell based on your experience, you know, what would be the best direction depending on the type of seller you have, because every seller is a little different. So you gotta you know, have your presentation not be a canned speech, but gotta be different. If it's an owner to prove, and if it's a high profile business making $500,000, it's a different presentation. So you gotta have many different ways to talk to a seller depending on what you're, you know, what's in front of you.
I agree with you. I have a very similar philosophy. And, you know, as much as you educate the client and you could talk to them about the pitfalls and what's going to happen, I often tell people, if I train brokers or new brokers, I talk to them, it's good to take notes in those meetings. And it's good, like you mentioned earlier, to understand the business owner's motivation for selling, because there's going to come a time when emotions get involved or things get difficult or the deal gets difficult, where if you understand what their motivation for selling is, you may have to remind them of these conversations later on and say, well, remember when we first sat down and you told me the reason you wanted to sell was because of this, but now you're saying something different. You know, has something changed? Do you find yourself being prepared to have those conversations with business owners when the time comes up?
Yes, you always got to remind them why they're looking to sell. You have to, as a broker, you have to go in there when you meet with the sellers and really challenge them on why they're selling. And that's what a lot of brokers don't do. I go in there, and if they're 50 years old, I want to know why they're selling, because they have another 10, 15 years left in earning power, and I will never get them enough money to justify what's going on. You know, and to get them to 65 years, no one's going to get them 10, 15 times earnings. I'll give you an example. I brought on a moving company. The gentleman's 35 years old. He's making $300,000. You know, what are we going to get for a moving company? $600,000. But he just got engaged. His wife lives in Israel, so he needs to move to Israel. So there's a motivation, because he's not going to get married unless he moves to Israel. So there's a strong reason. If, you know, obviously, if they don't, you know, if they break off the engagement, then obviously then I probably won't have a listing anymore. But the reason for sale is so vital. Number one, to find out their motivation and challenge them, make sure you got a real seller. Keep reminding them all the way through what was it, their goals in mind in the upcoming year, because it does take 9 to 12 months to sell.
Russell, time flies when we do these podcasts, and you and I could talk for hours and share stories. But I have two more things that I want to cover.
Sure.
Before we finish, because we have a lot of business owners that listen to this podcast and they're listening intently right now. So what advice would you give a business owner on how to avoid getting in the way or potentially inadvertently, you know, killing a deal? What advice do you have for these business owners?
Well, listen, you've hired an experienced business broker to sell your business. Let us do the job. There's too many sellers out there that try to put on the hat of the business broker They try to leave us out of the landlord. They try to handle the due diligence. Let us do the job. We are the experts. You know, at this point, I have 70,000 hours. I calculated it's a crazy amount of hours in this job. So let us do the job that guides you through. Let us quarterback the deal. Let us get the buyers to the right CPAs, to the right attorneys. Let's get the right team together so we can get you to the finish line. If they follow us, we will get them to the finish line. The problem is a lot of people don't listen to us and they decide to go off on their different path. And if they go off on a different path, and that's where problems can happen.
Yeah, that's sound advice. And I know you and I trust you. And we've been doing this around the same time and I've never done the calculation. Do you mind if I steal that and then I use the fact that I've been doing this about 70,000 hours?
Yeah, my pleasure. You know, it takes about 17,000 hours to be considered an expert in your field. And based on my 20 years and the crazy amount of hours I put in, that's my calculation. So that's what it is, 70,000 hours. And if a seller doesn't realize that, you know, you have a seller that just has an ego.
Yeah, well, you're making me feel very old right now, but there's a lot of time that's gone into this, but you're right. Yeah, that's great advice for the business owner. But now let's talk to, you know, through the IBBA who puts on this podcast, we have business intermediaries, business brokers, not just in the United States, but around the world that listen to this podcast. Some of them may be experienced. Some of them may be very new to the business. What advice would you give to the business broker listening today to help them avoid or even prepare for the moment a seller gets off track and is killing a deal?
In general, I think most people need to continue their education, because if you think you don't know it all, you're only kidding yourself in this business. I continue after 20 years. I'm still learning more and more stuff about the industry and trying to broaden my knowledge. So, you know, I want to be have the firsthand knowledge of new technology or anything going on in the business brokerage, so I can cover objections from my deals, but also from my agents. So the IBBA has been a great resource for me for continuing education and just keep refreshing me, a refreshing course on you know, the things that we forget, because, you know, if you think you know it all, the business will fool you because you never know it all. And once you think you know it all, then the business is gonna trick you and you're going to have a very crappy year. So education is very important. For the business broker, control your deals. You know, make sure you're at every landlord meeting. I think that's very important in the way of controlling your deals from a deal killing. Just quarterback the deal. Do an incredible upfront job on preparing your listing for sale. Get those executive summaries real nice. You want to make yourself stand out, because if you set the expectations with the seller by getting the right information and doing nice executive summaries, then your engagement will stand out amongst the other business brokers who do a very half-assed job. And if a buyer is looking at five businesses for sale and you're the only one that has a great summary and very detailed, you're going to make everyone look really, really weak. And that's what I try to do down here in South Florida. I try to get a lot of financial information up front. I'm not trying to slam a listing. I am getting a client. I have their numbers and I'm putting a package together. And so when a buyer gets that package, they already have the expectation of the numbers. They already know what's going on in 2019. And I never try to rush a business to market, because that will kill the deal in due diligence if we have inaccurate numbers.
I agree with everything you're saying. It's a lot of those philosophies I share myself. And it's unfortunate in our business. Well, maybe fortunate for us, because we've been doing it a long time and we get the overflow of the clients that these guys burn. But for the industry at whole and for business owners, it's unfortunate, because so many business brokers are just lazy and they take the path of least resistance, and then they get in the middle of the deal and the seller goes off track and the deal is dead. And we could say, well, the seller killed that deal. And my response is, no, the seller didn't kill that deal. You killed that deal because you didn't set the expectations. You didn't explain to them the process. You didn't tell them or show them what was going to happen and what could happen and what the results were and how you could cure that, and how you can overcome that. And if we would spend a little little more time doing the research and doing the education of these clients, they'll find out the pitfalls will still come, but you'll be able to overcome them. And maybe they'll be less, or maybe the sellers or your client will be more prepared. And I just wish more people took it a little more serious than, well, I have a real estate license in a licensing state. I'm licensed to sell a business. Now I know what I'm doing. And then they cry and complain when the deal falls apart and they want to point the finger at the seller and say the seller killed the deal. It really irritates me.
You know, at the end of the day, as business brokers, we have to ask questions and listen. And most of the time, I am not speaking in the meeting. I am listening to the seller. I am asking hard-nosed questions. I'm trying to find out where is the cancer in the business. That's what I'm trying to find. I'm trying to find out where is the problem in the business. And hopefully there isn't any. But it's my job to find out what I'm up against in the next 6 to 12 months on selling this business. So that's what I'm trying to determine when I meet with a seller.
I'd like to know, you've been doing this a long time, if you agree with this, and you don't have to agree, but it's something that, sure, that I believe. And if we don't agree, we'll go back and forth and we'll talk about it. But I found out that the more difficult a seller is in the beginning, prior to even taking the listing and insisting that they know what their business is worth and you don't know what you're doing as a broker, and they dictate everything that goes on against everything that you know, and you still take the listing, those are the sellers that when we get into crunch time, they're more likely and they're more apt to kill a deal, and you're not going to make a dollar off it anyway. I don't care how big the deal is.
That's a seller that knows it all, and that is a seller who will do the deal their way, and that's really going to be a very frustrating seller to deal with. I've dealt with them many a times in the past, and sometimes now. And, you know, we have our time. That's basically what we have out there in the field, is our time. So you have to decide what your time is, you know, how much time you have available for that type of person. If they're really not appreciating what you're doing, and if you're, you know, doing everything right with your expertise, and you're doing packaging the business the right way, and you're bringing clients that just not really appreciate it. Obviously, a lot of people have a lot of issues that you are not aware of, and you're getting thrown into their life, and you're getting thrown into their problems. Unfortunately, that's a decision that you got to take if you decide to take on the engagement. But a lot of times, people have big time issues, and they want you to be the savior. I always say I do miracles, but I'm not a magician. So that's very important to understand that. You know, I'll do a great job for you, but, you know, I can't do magic, you know?
Well, what I'm hearing you say is that the more work you do up front and the more prepared you are and the better you understand the client, the less likely is going to happen that they're going to be as unreasonable or kill the deal, or at least you'll know what you're up against when the time comes.
Exactly. Listen, if they're not going to give you the financials up front, just keep in mind that's just the start of the battle right there. If they can't give you the simple, you know, you call their CPA and get their documents, you got a problem. You got a major problem on your hands. So there's so many different things that could kill your deal, and that's just the beginning of one.
I just had a seller call me recently, and I went through the process of asking him questions, and I asked him the financial questions. And one of the things I discovered, he said he had it listed with three other brokers, which was a red flag to me. I'm like, well, why didn't it sell? Well, they couldn't get the price I wanted. I said, well, did any of them do any kind of evaluation, opinion value, or market analysis to understand? Yeah, but I didn't believe their pricing. And I told him, I said, look, if they couldn't get it done, I said, I'm really good at what I do, but I'm not a miracle worker. I know what the market is. I said, I'll gladly look at your numbers. I'll go through the financials, and I'll tell you what the market will bear. And if you need something in excess of that, I'm probably not your guy. I can only do so much. I can't be out there searching for the needle in the haystack, the one person that's going to pay that much more, because that's when you're going to get the percentages of our industry. That's when you're going to fall into the 20 to 25% of the people that list their business with a broker that actually sell, which means you're going to fail 80 to 85 to 90% of the time. And I just don't want to be that broker. And he followed up, Russell, and he said, well, that's okay, because when the time comes to it, I'm not willing to share my financials with a buyer anyway. And that was the end of our conversation.
There you go. Got the answer you wanted, right?
I'm sure you're right.
7 out of 10 sellers don't sell, and 97-98% of buyers don't buy. And, you know, those are nasty numbers. And so you just got to decide, you know, you got to tell your seller, do you want to be the 3 out of 10, or you want to be the 7 out of 10? This is your decision here. You know, I could tell you where you're going to land, but you got to be on the planet. If you're going to be off the planet, then you know, I'm not going to be really effective for you.
I agree. But, you know, if you've been in this business long enough as a business broker, you've experienced a lot of the things Russell and I spoke of today. If you haven't experienced any of it, it's just a matter of time. You will. But now, when it does happen, you're going to remember some of the advice that Russell shared with you today. And I hope you utilize some of his practices to help you avoid some of the pitfalls and to navigate through them, you know, when they happen. You know, educating the client ahead of time, understanding the motivation. You know, we're talking to a man here who's done more deals in the state of Florida probably than anyone over the last 20 years, or at least he's in the top, you know, two. But it's been a lot. And he knows what he's talking about, and I've worked with him, and his advice that he gave you today is invaluable. I hope you follow it. Russell, thank you so much for sharing with us today. I wish you continued success. It certainly was an honor and a privilege to have you on the show. For those of you that are people that are out there listening, please, how can they get in touch with you if they're in your market or they're looking to sell the business?
They can call me at 954-646-7651. Text me or email me at rcohen@murphybusiness. Glad to answer any questions. Just always working 12 hours a day, 14 hours a day, so always available.
Well, I look forward to doing some deals with you again in the future, and we'll continue going forward. Thanks again to Russell Cohen. Thank you so much for being on today's show. And we certainly always ask you to please share it with everyone on your social media platforms to help us spread the word to the industry and the people that tap on the industry, the people that are out there, the professionals, the business owners, the business buyers, because the resources we bring to the table are invaluable. For more information on our show or to listen to more episodes, please visit us at IBBA.org. I appreciate you listening, as this show is created and has always been and always will be for you, the listener. I'm your host, Chris Diglio, and I look forward to talking to you again on the next episode